Aircross SUV. Visit citroen.ie to book your test drive.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
We're all imagining what our lives would be like if we decided to be a salvage master. I don't think it's on the CAO form yet, but maybe having heard Nick, that might change. Now, it's time to talk to Dr. Maura Finn, who's with us on the line, our regular GP. Maura, good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
Today we're looking at concussion and very specifically sports-related concussion. So we always start with a definition and an explanation about what we're talking about. So concussion, what is it? How do you diagnose it?
Okay, so what it is a traumatic brain injury that's usually induced by some impulsive force, so either directly to the head or to the body that causes the head to jolt in some way. And it typically results in rapid onset but short-lived impairment of neurological function, and what that means, like confusion or a headache or something that, but it comes on quickly and respond and will resolve by itself spontaneously. It's a functional disturbance, so it's something to do with the brain being swollen and maybe a disruption of blood flow temporarily, not a structural thing. This doesn't involve brain or skull fractures or things like that. So it's by definition, it resolves spontaneously, but it can cause long-term repercussions if it isn't actually acknowledged.
So the red flags then and the warning signs, what should you be looking out for?
Okay, so the first thing is any injury on a sports field, the basic life support systems have to be checked. So your airways and breathing and circulation, and make sure there isn't a very serious injury. You look for severe neck pain, double vision, a seizure, severe loss of consciousness that doesn't actually resolve quickly, vomiting. These would be signs that you go, okay, this is very serious and needs to be taken beyond just the assessment tools that we'd use on the pitch. Obviously, as well, the type of injury and how the athlete responds immediately after the injury. Is the athlete lying motionless and can't get up? Are they disorientated? Is there kind of a blank, vacant stare and poor concentration and things like that? In the immediate aftermath of the injury are really important to assess as well. And then immediately what happens is you take the player off the field. And that is the golden rule with this.
And that's really important for a coach to know, for a parent to know, if you have a team doctor, if you're at that level, for that person to know and to act on.
Yes, absolutely. And to be fair, most coaches and are extremely well schooled in this. And then obviously medics that are involved in more elite sports people will know all these tools. But it can be difficult. Sometimes it goes unrecognized, or a player will sometimes, you know, in the heat of the battle of a game, you know, will not want to come off the pitch, may actually kind of shake off an injury too quickly. So what's really important is that you have a very low threshold, a very low mark where you go, this could be, if there's any suggestion that there's a concussion involved, you take them off the pitch and you do a very methodical sequence of investigations to see what the level of concussion is. And I think that's what we need to maybe highlight today, is that these very, very well trained professionals and coach people maybe just need to kind of have further training in these SCAT tools. These are kind of this sports concussion assessment tool, which is a very particular way of assessing an athlete and seeing if there is any serious damage.
And that involves asking a number of questions.
Yes. So you look at the observed, like I say, how the athlete was immediately after the injury. You do a memory assessment. So really simple things like, what venue are we at today? Who scored last in the game? Where did you play last week and who won? Things like that will actually give a very immediate assessment of the athlete's neurological symptoms. Then an examination, they do Glasgow Como scale, which is kind of a variation on that, where you're looking at eye responses and verbal responses and motor responses. And then after that, the athlete would be brought in and would be given a questionnaire that they'd fill out to kind of evaluate their own symptoms. And then there's also short-term memory assessments where they're kind of given words and then to repeat them backwards, months of the year backwards, things like that, and assessing their balance and coordination. It's quite an in-depth tool, but it's very, very good. And it should be standard practice for anybody involved in sports coaching, or if they're associated with kind of medical sideline assessments.
And the treatment then afterwards is to rest. So you come off obviously immediately, even if the player is saying, no, I want to get back on, that player has to come off.
Yeah, I think that should be the golden rule. And, obviously you understand that, the player may not want to, or actually maybe the coaching staff don't want them to either. But this has to be, if there's any suggestion that there is any sign of concussion, they come off. And the other thing is that, they should be monitored in at home for at least 24 hours afterwards as well, to make sure that there isn't any other signs of deterioration afterwards. And then this is the tricky thing. When they approach back to sport or normal activities, has to be done very, very gradually and very slowly. And that can be a tricky thing to manage too, because again, players want to get back. Mm-hmm. And, if it's a young person, they need to get back to school, but everything needs to be kind of done on a very, very limited basis.
Let's go through some of the questions. Here's an interesting one from a sports coach. I'm a sports coach, not a medic. If a player under my care gets a knock to the head, I check them for confusion, lack of balance, whether they're pale, clammy, or whether they have feelings of nausea. If they're fine on all of these checks and they feel confident to go back on, is it okay to let them? The parents are always notified and told to monitor them overnight, and they get a copy of the concussion protocol. So if that coach does all of those checks, the player's fine, they answer them all to the satisfaction of the coach, can the coach let them back on the field?
That's the golden question, isn't it? Actually, really, I would say no. If there has been any suggestion that if the coach has assessed them for concussion, there's been a knock to the head, and there's a need to assess, then really that player should be taken off the pitch. Okay. Now, it's a very, very woolly area, isn't it? You could have a knock to the head, which is a glancing blow that doesn't actually cause any issue. But it should be in every coach's mind that if they're assessing for concussion, it could possibly be concussion, and therefore rest is the golden rule there. Mm-hmm. But that coach sounds like they're, very involved and very up to date with it. But I would say they need to go a step further and use maybe the SCAT tool and take them off the pitch.
Okay.
Because the problem is, if you have unrecognized concussion, you may have a more increased risk of concussion subsequently if you have another blow. So, and the more concussion somebody has, the more damage we know that they could potentially suffer from in the long term.
Well, that brings me to my next question, long-term damage or potential for it. This is from a 62-year-old female listener who tells us about a litany of accidents that she had in her youth. So she fractured her skull age 2 by falling off some concrete steps. I was in hospital for 2 or 3 months.
Oh, God.
Aged around 5, I knocked myself unconscious by falling off my bike. I woke up in my parents' bed with the doctor shining a light in my eyes. I repeated the trick at around 8 when I fell off scaffolding. I was unconscious again. I've never had migraine or similar, but she'd like to know if she's at heightened risk of anything.
Well, I love the way she tells her story. It's great.
It is a litany of, she must have been very accident prone or adventurous as a child.
Absolutely. I would say yes. I mean, there has been repeated concussions there. So we do know there's a loose association. It's very hard to prove it. But kind of these chronic encephalopathies, if you have repeated concussions, however, she's 62 and seems to be doing very well. I would say if there's any progression with kind of new onset headaches, difficulty with balance, personality changes or mood changes, she should keep that in mind and actually give that history to any doctor she's seeing. But it's not an inevitability that she will develop problems with memory or issues around dementia, but she may have an increased risk. It's a difficult one to assess fully.
You'd have to keep an eye on any changes, as you say.
Yeah.
This is from a parent who says that their son had concussion last April. So that's heading for a year ago, Maura. He now has exercise-induced migraines. How does he build up returning to sport?
Now, that's a very good question, because the protocols for returning to sport in the early stages are really based on if you do any activity, so that you started with very, very light aerobic activity, then maybe move on to non-contact sports-related activity and then into the sport itself. And likewise, in the school or work environment, you do very little reading or screen time, and you build it up to a little bit more and then back into school. But anything that brings on the symptoms associated with concussion, headaches, nausea, disorientation, tiredness, you stop, you go back a step again. So for this boy, exercise-induced migraine, that is a diagnosis in itself. It may have nothing to do with concussion, but is it that he maybe progressed through those steps to return to sport too quickly and may have to go backwards? And there's some very good rehabilitation areas. There's a lot of work and research being done around this. There's a concussion research centre in ATU that is doing a huge amount of work around all of this. But, you know, maybe he needs to go back a few steps before he gets back into full sport.
Okay, so pull back a little bit from whatever is inducing the migraines.
Yeah.
Lighter exercise. Kira got hit by a hockey ball at a match 2 weeks ago. My doctor said it was concussion and I've stayed away from sport since. I'm hoping to go back this weekend, but I am feeling more tired than usual. Any advice?
Okay, so we kind of say for an adult, 10 to 14 days is kind of the average of recovery. 4 weeks for a child, just bear that in mind as well. I would say if she's not 100%, I would say that she should delay going back. There could be other reasons for headaches, obviously. There could be many reasons for symptoms, you know, of any sort. But if there was a concussion and it's 2 weeks ago, I think delaying until she feels completely well is the most important thing.
Okay, so be cautious. Yeah. Risk reduction then, I mean, how you prevent this happening? Obviously, you know, the people take it to the extreme, don't they? And they say don't play team sports. But I mean, yeah, you know, a lot of people aren't going to be able to resist, or they're not going to be able to keep their children away from team sports. So what do we mean when we talk about risk reduction?
And they shouldn't keep them away from team sports, and exercise is so vitally important. And, you know, so what we do is we have to actually manage, you know, avoidance of like extreme contact in younger players. I think that is really important. So for children, we know that they're susceptible to concussion much more and they're harder to assess. So that's another thing. Another thing, if women are actually more susceptible to concussion, there's many theories around that, but it just needs to be borne in mind as well. So, you know, avoiding contact in the younger groups is important. Upskilling coaches and medical professionals and anybody involved, you know, on pitch, to recognise the possibility of concussion is really important. Using that SCAT tool is really, it should be kind of, and I think it probably is used in the GAA and rugby protocols and all, but I'm just highlighting it here as well. And then headgear, you know, there's a company in Galway that have been making a new headgear, which is getting a lot of traction, called Enpro, which seems to be really well designed and is Irish made as well, you know, which is about kind of protecting. It's not going to stop you getting a blow, but it might protect your the brain from the significance of the blow. So it's about, there's many, many different aspects to it. But yes, I think the most important thing is have a very low threshold. Mm-hmm. If somebody has any injury that you think may be associated with concussion, or you felt the need to assess them for concussion, take them off the pitch.
Maura, what does a gradual return to sport mean, says this listener. My daughter plays basketball. She fell on an indoor court and banged her head. She feels okay. She has no headaches, but she's out of contact sport for another 2 weeks on protocol. And the question is, do I let her go running or should she stick to just walking?
Okay, so actually that's a really good question, because really it is very light exercise first. And, you know, if she starts walking, fast walking, and she has symptoms that are associated with concussion, so headaches, nausea, tiredness, anything, she needs to pull back and go to slow walking again. If she doesn't, she can move up to the next, maybe more light aerobic exercise, then sports specific exercise. But if she goes to sports specific exercise, she starts playing basketball without contact and she has symptoms, she moves back a step again. And that's really what they say, that this gradual return to both exercise and work or school involves. Anything that brings on your symptoms is too much, you go backwards a little bit then. Mm-hmm.
Now this one from a female listener tells us that she was concussed in January of last year, 2022, and developed an air pocket in the back of my eye. So my eye squeaks when pressed. Ah! After a 20, you know how squeamish I am.
It's a great trick.
After a 20-hour wait for an MRI, the doctor and consultant told me that it was benign and should be fine, but I still have the squeaky eye and a very slight blur in my right eye, in my vision when I look at a screen for too long. My main question is this a common occurrence in concussion?
No.
Right.
No, not at all. Quite unusual. And I suppose, I mean, she's quite definite that it happened post-concussion. So it would appear to be kind of a swelling or an inflammation around that area. But it would be very unusual, because what we define concussion as is a functional disorder, which means that there's, even though there's this swelling and inflammation short term, it resolves completely and there is no structural deficit. So that is, you know, she's been reassured that this isn't serious, and I assume she's been reassured that it will go away eventually. But it's not normal, and I think if she's bothered by it, you know, having another assessment would be a good idea.
All right, Maura, thank you very much as always. Dr. Maura Finn there. We'll take a quick break.
Today with Claiborne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.